14. Acts chapter 26, verse 14. Glad you're here today. Appreciate the Lord bringing us safely thus far. And Lord willing, church, don't rise. He'll take us safely home today. Amen. And if the church does rise, we will safely go home for a change. Amen. I'm glad we get to heaven. It's a no construction zone. It's an already prepared place. Right. Thank God for that. I'm glad there'll be no more flagmen in heaven. If they're there, it's because they got saved, not because they got a job to do. Thank God for that. Acts chapter 26, we're going to begin reading at verse 14. This is Paul standing before Agrippa. He says, "And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? By his reply, we know who he knew who he was talking to. Because in Acts 9, he says, Lord, with a capital L, there's the same word. And he says, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. When you attack his church, you attack him.
Right.
You attack his body, his bride. He says in verse 16, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, of those things in which I will appear unto thee. I want you to notice that he appeared to him. Jesus does not appear to all believers, not yet. He had to Saul here. It was Saul at the time, because the qualification of apostles, two things. Number one, he has to have seen the resurrected Christ. And number two, he has to be able to have the power to raise people from the dead. This man did both. This bunch of apostles around here don't do that. They can claim they saw him, but they didn't, because they can't raise nobody from the dead. They're not an apostle. He says in verse 17, Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And here's what he's told him he's sent for. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. As we look today in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is known as the Great Physician. And I'm preaching to you today on operations of the Great Physician. And as we look at that in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts and lives today. I pray, God, that you'll move in this service today. Help us to understand the Word of God above all else. And we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray, God, for me to preach today, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, being sent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Of course, in Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Today, as we look at these operations, I wrote down some things. I've thought all week about this, about what to expect in a doctor. You probably expect this. I look for it now. Number one, you want the doctor to have a caring bedside manner. Nobody likes a jerk that walks in and tells you you're going to die and then walks out. Nobody likes that. Everybody wants a caring bedside manner, that when you weep, they weep. When you hurt, they feel for you. They don't listen. I had a doctor one time. It was Justin's doctor. He had had an operation. He was a foreign doctor, and he said that because Justin was handicapped, he didn't feel any pain. I threatened removal of his teeth to find out if that was true about him. So who was going to be the surgeon? I was. You don't do handicapped kids like that. They hurt just like everybody else. You cut on anybody, they hurt.
Yep.
So we fired him, and he threatened to call the security. I said, yeah, call him and get you out of here.
Right.
Fair enough. Right?
Amen. Right?
Would you have done that for your kid? Of course you would have. And especially if he can't talk. He's sitting there hurting, wanting something, and the guy says that. And I thought, we need to fire this doctor. Just get him out of here. Most of them need to be fired. Amen.
Amen.
Now listen to me. You want a caring bedside manner in a doctor, and you want him to have a compassionate heart. a doctor who's compassionate enough to know if it was being done to him, how he'd want to be treated, then treat you like that, like he'd want to be treated. You want him to have compassion on you. I don't want a doctor, if I have something that's going to kill me within 6 months, to say, for 5 months, you're doing great, but on that last month, say, there might be a problem. I don't want a doctor like that. I want a doctor that's going to tell me what's going on and give me the right diagnosis and tell me that thing. I want him to have a comprehensive knowledge of what we're doing. In other words, I don't want my auto mechanic to be my doctor.
Right.
Auto mechanic knows about cars. Doctor knows about doctrine. I want about doctrine on human beings. I want him to know about that and have a comprehensive knowledge of whatever we're looking at. And granted, there's specialists. There's kidney specialists. I think there's a ankle, nose, or something. You know, them guys. I don't know what they do. I've never been to one, but I just know they're out there, you know. Ear, nose, and throat. I said ankle, nose, and throat. Well, you know, I don't know. All I know is I go where they send me. But see, that's why you don't meet a doctor on you, because I'd be working, I'd be trying to fix your ankles and your ears there, you know. Help us, Jesus. But I want him to also have a complete understanding of what we're doing. If he don't have it, when he looks at it, I want him to go read up on the subject and tell me. I want him to know what he's talking about and have an understanding of it. And also, something I look for in a doctor is a comedic side. Don't be so dead serious. Crack a joke every once in a while. If we don't laugh, sometimes we'll cry all the time. My wife, who's the biggest rat in the world, ratted me out to my doctor one day. And since she's not in here, I'm going to tell this. She walked into, we were out there, and this was last year, and she poked the side of my leg. And said, "What's that?" And I jerked my leg. I said, "A bruise, obviously." She said, "That's not a bruise." Well, I said, "Well, then what is it?" She said, "That's a bite. That's a spider or something got you." I said, "That's a bruise." So I didn't look at it because it felt, listen to me, it felt like a bruise, so it had to be a bruise, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I get up. I get ready to go to the doctor. They called me back there, and I had the physician's assistant. She's junior doctor. You know, they practicing her till she gets her full thing or whatever. She walks me in that room, and here comes the lady from out front and said, "His wife just called and said if you'd look at his leg." I thought, I ain't even had a chance to even tell her I felt good or bad. She's going to dive me out to the dock here, you know. I remember rolling up my jogging pants. That lady took one look at that thing and said, "I'll be right back." She goes, "Ooh," and walks out the door. Here comes my doctor back with her, and he says, "I got some bad news and I got some good news." He said, "The bad news is you're going to live." I said, "What's the good news is?" He said, "I can tell by looking that I just treated the patient. You got a brown recluse bit you." Thank God I didn't see it or I'd died right there. We would have had to call the doctor. We called Blakely's and just took me right on out. Because if I'd have saw one of them big old things crawl up on me. My wife got mad at me the other week as a big old spider started building a web while I was sitting on the front porch one afternoon. Well, I remembered that the previous tenants had some spider spray out there in the garage. I went out there and got a can and put about a whole can on him. She said, "You kill that innocent spider?" I said, "I sprayed him until he quit moving." I thought it was a writing spider until I got him down and looked at him. He was a brown recluse. Big old fat one, too. He's on his way to being the size of a tarantula if I wouldn't have took him out. Y'all ought to thank me. I got rid of that evil thing like that. He could have went to your house next. You're welcome, brother. But you want to have a doctor to have a comedic side and be able to smile with you and joke with you every once in a while. But our great physician is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, when it asked about this, so when Jesus heard it, he saith to them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Right.
And we look at that, and we look that he come, that our great physician, he wants to perform some operations on sinners.
Yeah.
Every one of them is listed in verse number 18. The first operation is Jesus wants to fix our sight. He said to open their eyes. Do you know when you were lost, the first thing the Lord did was open your eyes, not to everybody around you,
right. But
to you.
That's right.
And when he opens your eyes to you and you see you for who you really are, that's when you realize I need to get saved.
That's right.
And when the great physician comes and he performs that operation, he's going to take away what's clouding your vision from you and let you see you and all your faults, all your shortcomings, all your sins, everything. He's going to let you see the whole things. He wants to open your eyes to the darkness that surrounds you so you realize you're not sitting in the light, you're sitting in darkness. There was a time years ago when my pastor was preaching a funeral and I walked in. He said, have you got your Bible with you? I said, sure, go get it. I come back in, he met me in the hall, so let's go in here and pray. He's yet to tell me I'm helping him with his funeral. But we got in that room and he shut the door and there was a piece of construction paper on the door where you couldn't see the light around it. There was no windows in there. He said, the Bible said God dwells in a thick darkness and let's pray. I don't know where he is at in that room. I couldn't see him. But I mean, it was so dark in there, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And I got down to pray. I couldn't get my eyes adjusted to what was going on. I was sitting there, and it hit me about that verse about God dwelling in a thick darkness. You know why he's there? He's looking for somebody. He's wanting to open their eyes to what they're in. When we fellowship with him as saved people, we don't think about this as much. But when we were lost, boy, we was out there, and we didn't realize what we were actually in. And then God opens our eyes. The physician wants to come and do an operation on your sight, but then not only is he going to fix your sight, he wants to fix your light. He wants you, it says in that verse, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. Your sinful nature will point you right in the dark every time. You ever been to a nightclub? Don't say yes, but you've been. It's dark in there. You go to a club, it's dark in there. Men love that rather than being in the light. You go to any of these places like that, they tone down the lights because people love darkness better than light.
Right.
And here's the thing. Jesus wants to fix that. And he's the only surgeon that can take that away and fix that. When he goes to operating on us, he says in that verse, to turn them from darkness to light. When God saves a sinner, he don't just save them from hell, he turns them from hell. And he turns them completely from it. That's called repentance. God granting repentance according to knowledge of the truth. We acknowledge the truth when our eyes are open. He turns us away from that darkness and turns us towards the light. Why? To get away from those surroundings we're in. It'll help you out to realize that the Lord's doing this not to harm you, but to help you. There's a lot of people today that don't realize this, but they follow a path that was never intended for saved people to follow. And by saying that, let me say this. God never intended for you to dwell in darkness.
Right.
He never intended for you to go into places where it's predominantly dark and keep lights turned down. The reason they keep lights turned down, they don't want you to see what they're doing.
Right.
And by watching some things around us that happen, I will have to say this. Thank God he's able to do that, because every time I tried to do it before I got saved, I couldn't get the job done. There was New Year's Eve after New Year's Eve that came and went where I tried to turn from darkness to light, but it wouldn't work. I just couldn't seem to get there. Why?
Yep.
I didn't have it in me.
That's right.
But he said, Paul, I'm giving you a ministry, and when you do this, I'm gonna fix their sight, then I'm going to fix their light. I'm going to turn them from darkness to light. When you see somebody get saved, that's what he does. You ever had somebody ask you, how'd you get to where God could use you like that? You didn't. He did. You didn't save you, he saved you, and you didn't turn you, he turned you. He did that. I notice also it says, and from the power of Satan unto God. He not only fixes your sight and your light, but he fixes your might.
Right.
He gives you the strength to turn from Satan unto God. See, this Bible teaches us a great truth that nobody wants to admit, and that is that we're helpless. I mean, we're the type of people, we try to tell everybody how strong we are and that we can handle it and all this. And truth is, we're weak and can't handle it.
Right.
And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, hold your place there at Acts. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to show you this one. We get to the point where we say, you know what? I was just overcome by evil. I was overcome by wickedness. No, you were overcome by choice. Because the great physician, when he saves you, he fixes your might. He puts strength where there is no strength. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, here's what the Bible says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So for every temptation that comes in your life, you've got a choice not to do that, and you can get out of it.
Right.
You know why? It's not because of how strong you are. It's because the surgeon's been by your way, and you've been operated on, and in this operation, he fixed your might. He put strength where there was no strength because he put himself there.
Amen.
I can do all things.
Right.
How? From him. God did that. And when people look at that verse and say, well, I was overtaken by the devil one time, then you're lost. Because he just said, you have a choice out of that thing and a way to escape it. Why don't you just fess up and say, I made the wrong choice and take the blame and say, I sinned and get that right with God? Because that's what that is.
That's right. Yep.
When you blame the devil, you're saying, I couldn't have helped it one way or another. Guess what? You could. You had a choice. And you will live a better life in your Christian life with the Lord if you ever admit that to yourself.
Amen.
And you'll be able to walk with the Lord and not walk with all that guilt that you walk with, knowing that you did that and you're trying to make every excuse under the sun. Don't make excuses. Just say, I did that. It was me.
Amen.
It wasn't a devil. It was me. He tempted me, but I did it. See, he fixes our might. You don't have the strength to turn from the devil like that, but he does. Look back over to Acts chapter 26. Back over in Acts chapter 26. Boy, I like it when we get into the Bible and see what the Bible says. That helps me out. I'm telling you what. When I realized one day I didn't have to fall for all that stuff that people was telling me, I said, there's what the Bible says. I'm going to go with what God says. He says in that verse to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Watch this. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. There it is. You know what else he fixes? You're going to love this one. He fixes your right.
Yep.
You ever heard people say, we got rights. I got news for you. You have one. You have one right. You have the right to go to hell. You have the right to go unassisted and unabated because you're headed there without Christ.
Right.
But when you get saved, he fixes your right because that's the only right you had.
Amen.
You know what he does? He gives you the right to go to heaven.
Amen.
Listen. Everything in our life that we try to say is our rights, we don't deserve anything. There's people in foreign countries this day that if you told them in America, if you told them half the things we do, they'd say, that's a fairy tale. That don't happen. That don't happen. You don't have water running to your house and a toilet, whatever that may have you spell that. They'd never believe you in a million years. You go down to South America and you find some of those people out there in that Amazon jungle down there, and I don't mean the one that comes to your house, I mean the real Amazon. You go out there and you run into some of the people down there and you tell them what you do back in America, that's impossible. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
You know why? They've never seen it.
Yeah.
They've never laid eyes on it. You go to some of these places where they don't have electricity like you got here, and you tell them, well, I got electricity. We got an air conditioner. And I say, a what? An air what? What does it condition? How do you do that? And you tell them, we set it to 75. Set what to 75? They don't know what you're talking about. And then you tell them, well, in the winter, we drop that thing down to put it up there to 80 or whatever you put it at your house, or 75, 77, 72, whatever it is. And it keeps the house warm. And so we got that here. It's called a fireplace. And we all get out in the middle and set one on fire and we sit up there and keep ourselves warm. They have no idea what you're talking about, some of these people.
Yep.
You know what's funny? If you go talk to them about a Green New Deal, they'll laugh, they'll horse laugh you.
Yep.
They say, you mean you're going to come back to this? And when you claim you've got all of that? And before you can say, well, it's our right as an American, that can be taken away from you in one election.
Yep.
Just one. And listen to this, all these rights that people claim they have and we claim we have, we only have one. You either got the right to go to heaven or you got the right to go to hell. And you know what Jesus does? He ignores all these rights and just gives you this right here. And he said that they, talking about the people Paul's going to preach to, may receive forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
I'll take that over all the rights in the world. I don't know if you know this or not. If you're here today and you're lost, you walk around guilty. You feel like the world's on you. You know you've done things. You may put on a good front and you may tell everybody you're better than people that go to church or whatever you might say, or better than the best Christian you know and all that. But when it comes down to it, You know what a scumbag you are, and you feel guilty about it. You know what forgiveness of sins is? When he comes along and takes away all that guilt.
Amen.
I never realized how much that hurt till he took it away.
Yeah.
And now, when people come up and bring up my past, you know what? I did it. But he forgave it.
Amen.
The penalty has been paid. I don't have to worry about telling you whether I did it or not. I did do it, but he forgave it.
Mm-hmm.
So what about such and such? He forgave that too.
Yeah.
God did that.
Yeah.
See, it's his precious blood that made the payment for that and took all the guilt away.
Amen.
He fixes our right. But one last one down there in that verse. He fixes one other thing that no airline in this world can fix. He fixes your flight. How many of you ever flown on an airplane? Be honest. How many of you want to do one again? One or two or three people. I don't. You know why? That crowd's crazier than any other national corporation in the world nowadays. They can't listen. I don't get this stuff with these airports. We're going to shake down everybody at the gate, tell them you got to be there 2 hours ahead of time just in case you're a terrorist. Well, it looks like after 20 years they'd be able to spot one by now. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't profile people no more, so now we got to search everybody? Come on, this ain't recess and we're taking away recess because one of you chewed chewing gum. Oh, well, it's COVID. Oh, that's the new one. I'm sorry, we're not talking about terrorists anymore. You might have COVID. You know, the last time I flew, I did something the airline people, they really didn't like, but they couldn't say anything about it. I put on a Donald Trump mask right here and put on a blindfold over top of my eyes and put my shades on top of it and put my hat on and looked like some kind of crazy something. I thought, please throw me off the plane. But you're going to have to pick me up and do it because I just took two pills. I'll be asleep here in a second because I have to take the motion sickness pills. They make me sleepy. And I thought, y'all just got it to do, buddy. Did. I'll arrive in an instant and be right there with him. But in case we go by the rapture, which I hope happens before I get through preaching, what'll happen is I'll get a glorified body, get this part, that won't have to diet and won't have to worry about how many calories to eat a day and how much sugar to take in because I'm a diabetic. All of that'll be fixed and my flight will be fixed with it and up we go. Do you know what I hate worse than that? You may like them. I love the animals, but I can't ride horses anymore. Last time that horse threw me is the last time one's throwing me. I love them. I love the Lone Ranger. I love all that stuff. I think it's great. But the next time I get on a horse, that thing's already been fixed too.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven and God says, okay, the 7 year tribulation's up, everybody mount up, we're going to go back and watch me take out the whole lot that's trying to take out Israel. We're going to hop on them horses and come back, but we stand on between their ears if we need to. They won't throw us. He's fixed our flight. It says in that last verse, he says, they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. And that inheritance is John 14:1-4. That's that prepared place. Among them, that's the born again, the called out church there, which are sanctified, that's set apart for the Lord's service, by faith, it says, that is in me. When somebody gets saved, he performs sight, light, might, right, and fixes your flight. That's what the great physician does. He's the only one qualified to pick up a scalpel and go after these five things. And he does all of them well. I'm glad to tell you this. I've had operations before. And when we come out, the first thing I'm always surprised of when I open my eyes is that great big light they have seem like right on top of you. And somebody's going, are you okay? Well, no, I just had something cut on. I had a knife stuck in me. No, I'm not okay. That hurt. And if you hadn't doped me up so bad, I'd be able to scream. Y'all ever feel like that? Does it hurt when I do this? Of course it hurts. You just cut there. And then they're going to take you back to the room to rest. And every hour they come here, wake up so I can take your blood pressure. And I'm like, I thought we was resting. You got to get out of the hospital. Hospital's like a vacation. You got to get away from the thing where you can get some rest. But when you come out of that thing and they say, how'd everything go? Well, I hope it went well. I'm not alive enough yet to find out, but I know this. When he got through with these, there was no healing period. This physician, when he operates, fixes it. there's no after surgery pills to take. Why? The pain's gone. That's how this one operates. Can I ask you a question today? Has this physician operated on you? Has he fixed you yet? He wants to. By his death, burial, and resurrection, he was going to perform all five of these operations on you. And he's the only one qualified and able to do this. Quit trying to fix yourself. It's his job and he can do it. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.